And heartache poured out of Rabbi Yisroel Goldstein on Sunday as he recounted the terrorist shooting at his Chabad of Poway synagogue near San Diego that killed a woman and left him and two others wounded.
I realize now there's an active shooter at Temple. In front of me in the banquet hall, there's children, little kids. My granddaughters are here.
Goldstein said he held up his hands as the suspect opened fire, wounding him and blowing off his right index finger.
I was centimeters away from death.
But the rabbi said most of his pain came from seeing a beloved charter member of his shul, 60-year-old Laurie Kay, lying dead on the floor as her husband, a doctor, frantically tried to resuscitate her. Others wounded were an 8-year-old girl and her uncle, an Israeli war veteran, who, the rabbi said, took a bullet trying to protect children. Both were released from the hospital. Another 8-year-old, Noya Dahan, was there and saw the shooting.
Well, I don't really feel safe because this is not the first and definitely not the last time this is going to happen. So now I just know, like, to watch out and stuff for dangerous things to happen.
Goldstein said President Trump telephoned him Sunday, speaking for about 15 minutes. San Diego County Police say 19-year-old John Ernest allegedly entered the Chabad of Poway Synagogue Saturday and opened fire with an AR-style assault weapon. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif is accusing the United States of trying to bring Iran to its knees and overthrow its government by seeking to thwart its international oil trade. U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, appearing on Fox News on Sunday, said the U.S. goal is not regime change, but a change in behavior, specifically an end to Iran's nuclear weapons program and ballistic missile testing. This is VOA News. Sri Lanka, still reeling from the impact of the deadly Easter Sunday explosions, has banned women from wearing face veils. President Maithripala Sirisena implemented the ban under an emergency law. The ban went into effect Monday, and shop owner Nazar Mohammed thinks it's a good idea.
This is for our good, I think. Now, at this moment, now you know the problem in Sri Lanka. According to the problem, face covering is, at the moment, is not good. Because they can't find the men, is a man or woman. For that only, President may have banned this.
Officials said the move will help security forces with the identification process. Reuters reports that the top body of Islamic scholars supports the measure on a short-term basis, but opposes legislation against burqas. Spain's governing center-left socialists won the country's election on Sunday. VOA's Penny Dixon has more.
While the socialists won the election, they must seek backing from smaller parties to maintain power. The country's far-right party rode an unprecedented surge of support to enter the lower house of Parliament for the first time in four decades. With 99% of ballots counted, the socialists, led by Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, won 29% of the vote, capturing 123 seats in the 350-seat Congress of Deputies. The new far-right Vox Party made its national breakthrough by capturing 10% of the vote, which would give it 24 seats. Penny Dixon, VOA News.
Indonesia's General Election Commission on Monday said that 296 election workers have died, mostly due to illness related to fatigue from working long hours and counting millions of paper ballots manually. More than 7 million people were involved in the counting and monitoring of the April 17th election. Dr. Ari Farial Sayam, head of the medical faculty at the University of Indonesia, said the manual counting system required officials to work all night in bad conditions, including wind, rain, and heat. He said when something happens to officers, it is due to fatigue, physical and psychological. The Indonesian Election Commission said in a press release that it plans to provide 36 million rupiah in compensation for each worker who died. That is approximately $2,500 US. A second disaster unfolded on Sunday in northern Mozambique in the wake of Cyclone Kenneth as raging floodwaters killed one person and began to cut off the region's main city of Pemba from the outside world. Some 160,000 people were at risk, with more torrential rain forecast for the days ahead. Now, this was the first time in recorded history that the southern African nation has been hit by two cyclones in one season, again raising concerns about climate change. For more on these stories, voanews.com. I'm Joe Palca, VOA News.
This is Border Crossings, radio